Let me have you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. As I read that psalm, and I think that the morning that I read it was October 8th, and it occurred to me when I was reading through it and making notes, observations of my study, that it was clear to me that things were a-shaken here in the life of the psalmist. Things were a-shaken. And so, if we can gather our thoughts tonight around the contemporary application, we can look very close and we can see quite vividly that things around the world are a-shaken. Things within the church are a-shaken. And we get some great counsel out of Psalm 62. There will be two words that I will impress upon you during the course of the application of the message tonight. Let me read, however, the first verse and the verses following out of Psalm 62. We'll pray and then trust God for the outcome. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. We can grasp accurately that the word truly is on a par with the word only. Only. And makes quite great sense in the text that we have. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Please take a note. Make a note at this time that the word move is like unto the word shake. Okay? How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Wait thou truly upon God. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Please note again, for the sake of a record, the word move there in verse 6 is shake, like unto the word shaking. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Several times we've encountered that word, Selah. Engage the mind, the thought processes in all of this, when you sense the tremors that are occurring all around. They say that tonight there is a cluster of earthquake ridges just off the California coast, just a boiling and a bubbling. Great place to buy real estate, great place to move. But we move on there. Surely men of low degree are vanity. Men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity, lightweights, all of them. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, as we look here tonight, guide us in our evaluations and our observations, and allow us to extract from here nourishment for our soul, light for our path. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that which will be offered in this simple fashion tonight will be a blessing to your people. But beyond the blessing to the people that may accrue, we pray, dear God, that you might be satisfied, that you might be honored. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. We thank you, Father, that we can always count on your presence We do not need to worry or wonder where you might be at any given moment. We are thankful that you've kept your word. You said you'll never leave us or forsake us. And so as things begin to shake all around us, we again resort to our great refuge in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find great consolation in Scripture. That word that is settled forever in heaven. That word that has been written in hand by the Spirit of God through human instrumentality, yet it is etched forever. It's intertwined with your plans and your purpose, your great decrees. And we know, dear Heavenly Father, that you will accomplish all that you set out to do. In the councils of eternity, it has been decreed, and so we are privileged to stand by here tonight and watch everything unfold. We ask, Lord, for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, typically, whenever you heard me refer to I, me, and my in days gone by, it's always been in a negative sense. There is an exception to that here in Psalm 62. You will notice the frequent uses of those words, I, me, and my. You will also notice the frequency of the word only in Psalm 62. They all have their great place and significance as we look at Psalm 62. But keep in mind that when we say things are shaken, they really are. Again, without trying to microanalyze what goes on all around, because things do change. Things that seem to be certain are not quite so much. Last week, I kept downloading, I downloaded two things off my email account from two sources that I typically read sometimes at length. But here's the claim that they made. The claim that they made was that on a certain date, which came to be the date they said was last Friday, that certain things would change with regard to the monetary policies of the world, and essentially that the dollar would be obliterated because the Chinese yuan would come online as a world reserve currency and be allowed to be used in world markets with the same strength and same credibility as the U.S. dollar. And so that basically two different sources established a date that on such and such a day the U.S. dollar would fail, and that would dynamically alter the economy of the United States of America. So I said, I'm just going to download this, keep them on my desk, because I'm skeptical. I want to see, have them right there in front of me in the morning that was supposed to occur. And I believe it was going back now, it was like August 31st. As far as I can tell, here we are on October 9th, 10 days past. Everything seems, because I don't know for sure, everything seems to be good. And so I plan to make contact with the originators of that correspondence and query them a little bit. But I also do note this in a prophetic light. Can't help but read a place like Ezekiel 37, 38, 39 with regard to the Russian bear and how it's on the move today. Very, very stunning that the encroachments that they've made, they're now moving for the first time, I think, since the collapse of the Berlin Wall. They're moving nuclear weapons further south into one of their so-called provinces closer to the land of Israel. They, in recent weeks, on two occasions, have directly bombed hospitals in Syria. And then, of course, when the UN Security Council convenes to condemn that, whatever that means, of course, Russia vetoes the resolution. Of course, I understand why they're bombing the hospitals, for the very same reason we don't. And the reason that we don't, when we know that there are bad characters hiding in the hospital, mixing among the civilian population, we abstain from carpet bombing them, and or worse, because of that. We do not typically, insane, sensible, scrupled America, willy-nilly take innocent lives. Vladimir Putin and those people have no qualms about that. Things are shaken. And of course, the Donut King over in North Korea is sending missiles aloft. And for the first time, he has shown the capability with the engine projectile to be able to reach targets at length, where before they would only like fall harmlessly into the ocean off his beach. Now he's able to get them a little bit further. Things are shaken. Things are shaken within the church, especially from the pressure from the outside. The state government here in Pennsylvania and around the nation in different places is being driven by public policy that should go quite against the conscience and the biblical scruples of God-fearing, Bible-believing people. And failure to bow the knee to public policy will put individuals and churches in dire straits financially and threaten the very existence of their facilities. And of course, the first place that'll start is the removal of a tax-exempt status and so forth and so on. Now, I don't know exactly what that means from a financial point of view, but things are shaken. Now, here we come to Psalm 62. And David says, truly my soul, please notice the repetition, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock. Notice again. And my salvation. He, the focal point, is my defense. And then the next phrase, I shall not be greatly moved, shaken. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Now, I want to have you to understand that what is observed by David then has not altered in any way with regard to the human personality in our own days. We've seen that in recent days. And we've seen it repeatedly, month after month after month, and you're likely going to see it more until Jesus comes. This profile that's right here. But then the psalmist says, my soul, wait thou only, exclusively, upon God for, and again, the use of the word my. This is very personal. My expectation is from him. It is always an unwise thing for the Christian to expect something that may never happen. You have every right theologically to sit here tonight, in spite of the fact that things around you are a-shaken. You have every right to sit here tonight and think that you will not be subject to those things a-shaken. Our expectation is from him, not from them, no matter what may transpire. And then he says, he only, verse 6, he only, exclusively, is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. And then again, he reiterates this, I shall not be moved, shaken. Now let's think about this, shaken. Keep your place in Psalm 62. Travel with me through assortment of scriptures to set some things in a context. First place in Leviticus 26, verse 36. Leviticus 26, verse 36. Shaken. When we read the verse, we understand its setting. The 36th verse comes in the section of Leviticus where it describes, generally speaking, punishment for disobedience to the Israelites. And so when we come to verse number 36, upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. Now I want to say to you that there's a biblical definition of paranoia. It's really not funny, but oftentimes still today, even in spite of the culture in which we live, I see sometimes little children who flinch when a parent raises their hand near them. They juke. I know the reason I guess that is because probably they have there's been impact made previously. Well, here's a, here's an expression of paranoia, but it comes simply stated as a cause in verse 35, as long as it lieth desolate shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths. Clear disobedience. Disobedience to the will of God or to the Word of God always will generate human paranoia. You'll be thinking, and there'll be a case in point. You remember Esau? When he was, Jacob was about to meet Esau, and you remember what his concern was? He was paranoid. He was afraid to meet Esau. He thought he was out of the will of God. He thought he was. So here you have in verse 36, that paranoia in the shaking of a leaf. I mean, that's pretty skittery when a person is turned upside down because of that. Then I want you to see something in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 13. And again, setting it in its context is the internal problems that Nehemiah was having to deal with his own people. And you come to verse number 13. Now, this follows on a promise that was made. A promise, which is to abolish or to reject the concept of interest payments levied against the brethren. Promise. Then verse 13. Also I shook my lap and said, so God, shake out every man from his house, from his labor, that performeth not this promise, even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said amen and praised the Lord, and the people did according to this promise. So you have a little bit of paranoia connected with the shaken. When people think that there's a communist behind every bush, when people think that there's a problem under every carpet, they begin to, how do I want to say this tenderly? I'm trying to recall how I broke that down. I better not. Yes, I will. They begin to go, and I paraphrase my own notes, they begin to go squirrely. They go squirrely. Paranoia eventually leads there if you don't get it in, get it squared away. You go squirrely. And by that I mean to say, if it needs any further definition, is that you dine on nuts. You have an appetite for nuts. Okay? Well, here you have Nehemiah 5 and verse 13. They made a promise. They had been practicing something. It was wrong, was out of the will of God. Nehemiah calls them on it. They make a promise to stop it. And to ratify that promise, to ratify it, even thus he be shaken out, the one who doesn't fulfill the promise, shaken out and emptied. There's poverty there in direct connection to disobedience to the promise. Look over at in the book of Job, please. Chapter 16. Job 16. And please, again, look at verse number 12. If ever there was a human being who lived on planet Earth had a right to complain, Job did. I'm going to give him his due there. Normally we turn a sour lip to people who whine. But if there was a guy who had justification for whining on from a human perspective, Job did. So we look at Job 16 and verse number 12. He says, I was at ease. To get the definition on that, you go back to Job 1. He was in his own home when the news started coming in like a flood on him. I was at ease. But he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by the neck and shaken me to pieces. People, when things are shaken and they don't get a handle on what's going on, generally fall to pieces. They come apart. is shaking me to pieces and setting me up for his mark, which is, from where I sit, just an expression that, from Job's perspective, from what he's talking about here, God set him up so he could pick on him. Pick on him. Now, if that doesn't wreak paranoia, I don't know what does. Now, there's also something else to be observed with these shaken things. In Psalm 18, we get a little bit more prophetic. Psalm 18, verse number 7. And again, the psalmist, the Psalm of David, please see what we find here. He's in distress, according to verse number 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord. I cried unto my God. He heard my voice. Then verse 7. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken. Because why? He was wroth. Sometimes when things are shaken around us, it's because God is angry. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, or bowed the heavens, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. When I think about the topography of the earth, you come to the New Testament. Don't lose your place in Psalm 62, but come into Matthew 24, where it says that in that place that immediately after the tribulation of those days, Matthew 24:29, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light. Does that make sense to you scientifically? If the sun is darkened, does it make sense then that the moon will not give its light? Okay. Where does the moon get its light? It's a reflector. Stars shall fall from heaven. How many of you saw this past week where everybody, some guys had their, must have their little telephone cameras on this object that fell out of the sky? Giant object! Big bright flash, and the news channels were all over the air about it, and they were running it on the top of the byline. What was that? People were calling all in a fuss. So one of the guys, one of the young fellas, and he was really young, he couldn't have been more than 21 years old, but apparently very bright. He stands there and he said, first of all, let me clarify what they saw. What they saw was an object that fell out of space that was about as big around as a chandelier. And the only reason it had made such a big light was because of the scientific forces of gravity and so forth, bringing to bear all the stuff that happens when objects that are in space fall into the Earth's gravitational field. It was about the size of a chandelier, but from where people were standing, it looked gigantic. Gigantic. Stars falling. Stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, according to Matthew 24:29. That, of course, has prophetic implications. There's also indication that in connection with that, in Luke 21, verse 26. Now, this is when things really get, this touches upon the physical reaction when things, they are shaken. The physical reaction, Luke 21:26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Men's hearts failing. That doesn't mean that the heart stopped. A heart can fail without necessarily stop, without it stopping beating. It can fail. It can fail to function appropriately and properly. It is sort of like the sensation that those of you who are rabid hunters maybe have, if you can remember back to the very first time you went hunting, And the very first time that you drew a bead on your victim, and the pitter-pattering of the heart, you know, there's a little bit of a fluttering in here, and you're short of breath, and you had to control the breath so as to get off a straight shot, and you couldn't do it. Maybe you got it, maybe you didn't. If you had a shotgun and were close, you might have got it. If it was a rifle and you couldn't get your breath and you squeezed off around, you probably weren't going to come anywhere near it, and the deer is going to turn around and laugh at you. Mm-hmm. But then there are other times when things are shaken in a good sense. And God's people would do well to give this some thought out of Acts 4, verse 31. 4:31, the church had just been birthed. This has a connection with prayer. In Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Ah, that'd be a great thing on a prayer meeting night to see a shaking going on. A shaking and a quaking at prayer meeting. Evidence that God in His mighty power would be pleased to grant the request. The place were shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And may I just say to you that whenever that happens, today, tomorrow, anytime in the future, as it has also been in the past, when God's people are filled with the Spirit and when they speak God's word boldly, things begin to shake. Things begin to shake. As a matter of fact, truth of it is, in Acts 16:26, in the prison of all places, I say that in Acts 16, there was at least some praying going on, there was some praising going on, and there was some preaching going on. And there in Acts 16:26, suddenly there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened. I think that's the net effect of a shaking going on spiritually. Doors come wide open as versus being closed. No access. And then last, look at 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 2. And then we come back to Psalm 62. 2 Thess 2 and verse 2. Again, keeping it set in its context. And that is prophetic. Verse 1 says, "Now we beseech you, addressees the brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him." I mean, this settles the shaken down, this truth. This settles all the shaken down. Verse 2 says that you be not soon or easily shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day that the day of Christ is at hand. So we go back, if we would please, to conclude at Psalm 62. And then I want to leave you with two words of counsel when things are shaken. We come back to Psalm 62. And again, he said in verse 6, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." Goes on to say, "And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge." All of it's in God. "Therefore, trust in Him at all times. Ye people, when things are shaken, trust. When things are shaken, pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us." And then we are reminded of men, whether they be men of low degree, low class, or men of high degree who at least think they're high and mighty. The down and outers, the up and outers, they're a lie to be laid in the balance. They're altogether lighter than vanity. That's really light. Listen, when something is empty, how much lighter can it be? When there's nothing on the scale, how much lighter can you get? Think about that tonight, if you are inclined in any wise politically. Think about that tonight. What you're about to see is a couple of lightweights in comparison to God. Trust not in oppression. Some people live off of that. Become not vain in robbery, whether it's legal or not. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. How do we know that? Let me give you three instances, three words, or three places that offer two words of counsel for us when things are shaken. You will remember, you can take the notes down and look at them yourself in their entirety. First one is in Exodus 14, verse 13. And that is, of course, the occasion when Moses and the people of Israel would go through the Red Sea. Here are the two words. Stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Stand still. Those are the two words. Stand still. When things are shaken, stand still. And why would I say that? God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. And where was God's power manifested there in Exodus 14? When he split the waters apart and held them up. Only as long as it took for his people to get safely through. Only as long as it took. Do you think that God will do anything less for you and me tonight? Then think about when Joshua and the people of Israel were about ready to cross the Jordan River in Joshua chapter 3, verse 8. The instructions to the priests were, stand still. Why would they need to be advised that? Well, because the river that they were looking at and they had to cross was at flood stage. And the command came inexplicably, we're going to cross this river. As soon as you put the soles of your feet in the water, God, manifesting His great power, is going to stop the water upstream. And listen, when it stops upstream, that means everything downstream becomes wide open. And all the people of Israel with all their bags and their baggage, all their livestock crossed over great works on dry ground. Dry ground. No mud anywhere. Stand still. Why? Power belongeth unto God. Same thing is repeated in Job chapter 37, verse 14. Let me have you turn there and we conclude tonight as we consider the works of the Lord, that they are great. In Job 37, verse 14. Hearken unto this, O Job. This is one of the friends speaking. Stand still, he says. You know what he said was true? Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. When things all around us are shaken, that is no indication whatever that God has lost touch with his people or lost interest in his people. Or that he's lost control of the circumstances. So when things around your life, keep in mind that over and over and over and over and over again in Psalm 62, very personal application as it was with David, that was written for our example, according to Romans 15 verse 4, that we might learn from the past and what was very intimately personal to him. The truth, the application of the truth of God's Word, the same is to be laid out for you as well. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you might keep us steady in these days. Help us to stay the course, Lord, to literally finish the course. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that all along the way might we never ever have to be reminded that whatever we may do, whatever we may be able to accomplish, is never by our might nor by our power, but by thy Spirit. We trust you. And we pray, Lord, you might secure us in that for Jesus' sake. Amen.